Tell me about this building. How did you find it? Why did you buy it?
Okay, I came down to New Orleans a while ago thinking about moving here permanently. There was really three places that made the cut as far as, all right, I was going to leave New York, where's it going to be? And it's hard to leave New York to go to St. Louis, no offense to St. Louis. Wanted to go someplace that was interesting, dynamic, had something. So it was Brazil, Colombia, and actually third on the list was New Orleans. Bought a house down here, decided this was the spot, and for a variety of reasons, had a house down the street and kept walking by the gas station and saying and looking at it and thinking, it's an amazingly beautiful structure. I mean, it's definitely falling apart. It's been fallow now for 40 years, but it had a real Hopper-esque vibe to it. And I thought, and the other thing that I loved about the location was it's right where you have one busy, like, main artery of New Orleans against, intersected by maybe, I think, if not the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful streets in the world. And I was really intrigued by it, and I thought that New Orleans is such a diverse place, and this is a perfect location to get that diversity to all come together, that was why I chose this location.
What do you want to put here?
If there's somebody in New Orleans who hasn't heard about this, I'd be surprised. But I'm going to open up a restaurant, a Latin restaurant, casual dining called Cafe Habana. And it's the kind of restaurant I think that's perfect for New Orleans and actually perfect, again, for this location because there's such a diverse population in New Orleans. And a lot of that diversity is going by here, whether you live in the Lower Ninth, Bywater, Marigny, 7th Ward. Even if you're living up on Esplanade Ridge, up that way, you're going to come down here. If you live in the French Quarter, there's some reason that you're going to pass by this location. And the restaurant is a mid-price point restaurant, full-service restaurant, which it has to be by law because it's in the French Quarter, but it is everywhere else that I operate. But I think everybody who comes to the restaurant feels that they're treated with respect and that they get good value for their money.
And just if I walk down the block here, I'm going to see some signs that have the name of your restaurant, but they're crossed out. Tell me about that.
I used to box a little bit, used to get in some fights every once in a while, and I can tell you from extensive empirical study, the punch that you don't see coming is the one that really does you the most harm. And I really thought when I was opening up the restaurant here, I thought they were going to throw me a parade. I mean, there was no nefarious carpetbagger moves to get the property. It's been sitting here, like I said, unused for 40 years. I pulled out the toxic tanks, opened it up, and it's for a variety of reasons. There started to be an opposition, and the opposition was really, I'm going to call it the vociferous minority, and there started to be an anti-Habana campaign, and that's what these signs are.
Yeah. And how did you respond?
I tried my best to just stay the course. I really feel that most of the people who hung up the signs, especially in the beginning, because there used to be more signs than there are now, I feel that a lot of people weren't actually against what I wanted to do. They were against what I heard I wanted to do, whether it was a biker bar, live music. I mean, crazy stuff, dancing girls. Everybody heard all kinds of things about what was going to happen here. I was going to have a capacity of 1,000 people. So I really thought that most of the people, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but were just misinformed as far as what was going to happen here. So I did what I could to try to get the word out, but then I just felt like what I want to do is a good project. I'm trying to do something. What I think is something good for New Orleans. I really think that New Orleans is a wonderful town, and it really does have such a diverse population. But besides music and food, sometimes people don't get together in quite the way that you would like to see them get together. And I thought, well, this is going to be great for the neighborhood and great for the city. And other people thought differently, but I was just like, I'm just going to stick to what I want to do and just see how it's going to work out and just go through the process. So there was never, I say hello to the people who are in opposition. They're my neighbors. I wish that it had been more of a welcoming situation, certainly. But just not like woe's me, but I just wish everybody was more excited in a positive way because that's the way you hope life's going to be anyway. But for me, I really didn't have any big reaction except to just try to keep doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah. And what's your sense of the argument against you? Like, what's the crux of it?
I mean, sometimes it comes down to issues that, to me, seeming are not legitimate issues for why the restaurant shouldn't be here. Parking, for instance, there's no laws requiring parking here. I don't even think parking is a reason why people shouldn't have a spot to go to eat, to come together. Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. But I do understand that parking is an issue for a lot of people in the immediate neighborhood, though, again, especially because of this site. If you look at the site, across the street is a parking lot for the condo that is across the street. There's only one building on this block, and there's two people living there, and they're my tenants. And then there's no other residential in this immediate vicinity. So there's always parking in this neighborhood. But anyway, I rented a parking spot down the block so that there's more parking spots. So some of those issues, to me, they don't hold weight, I mean, at all. And then some of the other issues, again, I think it's a lot of it. There was a lot of fear-mongering going on. And they keep showing signs, like even in some of these governmental agencies that we have to go in front of, they'll be showing these diagrams with 300 and 400 people represented by little dots. And even the dots are like out on Rampart Street. And I mean, Jesse, if we go out on Rampart Street, we're going to get hit. I mean, I don't even understand. It doesn't even make sense to me. So the crux of what a lot of it is it's hard for me to totally get my head around, because it really does feel like people have kind of, at this point, it's almost a paranoia that's seeped into some of the some of the issues that are being raised, in my opinion anyway, because it's and there's no way to quell those anxieties until I actually open up and show that I'm a good operator for the people who are just steadfastly not going to believe that I'm a responsive, good corporate citizen.
The Voo Care Commission kind of regulates what happens here in the French Quarter, right? And you're inside of that. They took a look at what you were doing and said okay, right?
They did. They, again, because there was such opposition, and at times it was a bit vitriolic, it really was, that there was, I would go to these meetings and there would be 2 and 3 lawyers that were representing different groups, and again, they became, some dropped off as time went on, but the VUCARE Commission really had to make sure that they dotted I's and crossed T's, and they spent a lot of time, because this was such a big issue in New Orleans and in the VUCARE. But before I even bought the property, I'd actually gone to the VUCARE Commission and say, I like that it's a gas station. I think it's represented. There used to be many more gas stations in the French Quarter. I even read the National Park Service's how to repurpose gas stations. Had done a bunch of research on the spot before I'd even bought it, and they were enthusiastic and they were really glad that it was going to be kept, you know, the architecture of the gas station. So we went, and I have to say too that working with Larry Hestoffer as the director there, and the architectural review committee and the staff there, it was wonderful dealing with them. They were really in a hard position because they want to be fair and they want to see both sides, and they are responsive to the community, and that's kind of their mandate and their job to a degree. But they also were excited about the project, and they had to find a way to make sure that they felt it was the best project it could be, and there's no question that they helped make it a better project.
Is that a helicopter?
Yeah.
And then with the city, tell me about what recently passed through the city.
The city council had a hearing.
Yeah, first we went to the city planning commission, and the staff wrote a report, and I thought we were going to breeze through there because it's pretty much, it's normally, if the staff approves it and there's all good reasons to approve it, that you usually get through that process pretty easily. But I was deferred, had to go back to city planning commission, then was approved there. 7-1, I think, was a vote. And so that then made it. Then there was an appeal of the VUCARE Commission, and I believe the City Planning. I'm not sure if they appealed the City Planning Commission. I think it was just the VUCARE Commission. And then that went to the City Council. And the City Council, that was voted on. And normally there's 7 people. One of the council members was away on, she was abroad. And so there were 6, and it was a 4-2 vote in favor of upholding the VUCARE Commission's decision.
And so now, more or less smooth sailing?
I believe so, except that there's a couple neighbors that are now suing the city and the VUCARE Commission and the City Council. But I know that's like a different pay grade than I have. That's like above me. So I'm not exactly sure how that's all going to work out or what's happening on that front. But as far as I know, I'm now starting the permitting process and expect to start construction in the next couple of months.
I also wanted to ask you, what's the difference between preserving a building and putting something in it, like restoring an existing building? And, you know, a lot of people will just knock something down and, you know, build something different for their restaurant, store, whatever. Why do you want to preserve something? What's the difference to you?
Oh, on a personal level?
Yeah.
I look at the architecture in New Orleans, and I get juiced up. And there is so much older architecture. And again, we're talking about Esplanade Avenue. And I really, it's my favorite street in the world. And I've been real lucky to go a lot of places. And I just love Esplanade. But the workmanship that's put into some of these buildings, and to see a building that's 100 years old and more, and they're just still standing and looking great. And I think New Orleans is really doing a wonderful job of keeping the architecture up. I just want to, it excites me, and I want to be here. And I have to say, even some of the neighborhood groups that have been against me, there's one in particular, VC Pora, I would not be here in the French Quarter if they weren't here being concerned citizens about the architecture here. It's not just the Vucaray Commission. It's other citizens taking time to really be passionate and care a lot about what's going on. That doesn't mean we're always going to agree, of course. But for me, I really, when I saw this building, I saw it looked Hopper-esque to me. Do you know what I mean? It really has that kind of vibe and feel. And there's something also about, I think, when there's an older building like this and outside space too, it's a way, because I really feel if I have a talent, there's people that are in the restaurant business, they're going to talk about Radicchio half an hour. There's people that are in the front of the restaurant sometimes that are in the restaurant business for, I don't know, because they want to be friends with celebrities or, I don't know, something ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Or even worse than that. But I'm in the restaurant business because I love seeing people have a good time. I really got that grandma gene. I want everyone to eat and drink and have fun. And I think that the restaurant, I think Latin culture in general is very inclusive. It really is a melting pot. New Orleans is a melting pot. And if I really do feel that I've had success making a disparate group of people come together and feel comfortable rubbing shoulders with each other. And I think some of that's already inherent in New Orleans, but I really do feel that when you have architecture that's a bit older and it's been there for a while, nobody feels it's their architecture or somebody else's architecture. There's people in New Orleans, all kinds of socioeconomic, any way you want to break people apart, there's somebody living in an older building, and people care for their architecture here in New Orleans. And I feel that that's going to help me make people feel comfortable when they come here. And that's very important to me.
That's making me think, like, a lot of people are obsessed here with maintaining and restoring kind of that look of New Orleans, the shotgun houses, you know, the facades of buildings, and the focus is on the architecture. You hear talking about Latin culture and thinking about just this as a Creole city. I think some people are worried that the actual kind of inside of the city, the people who've grown up here, the people who've lived here, the people who are third generation, aren't getting the same attention in terms of, you know, preservation, in terms of being able to stick around, being able to afford to live here. What do you think of that? What do you see as now being a resident here?
That's definitely, it's a big issue, a huge issue right now. And I feel that there really is some people that are visionary that are on this city council right now, and it's very important that they are. Preservation, I'm all for it, but people are more important than buildings. End of story. That's how it is. And I think that that's how we should come to it. I mean, the reason we want to restore these buildings is not just so somebody who has a bunch of money can hop on a jet and come walk around. It's we want to make sure that the people living here have a great life and a great lifestyle. And when preservation prevents that, then I think it's time we have to review it and maybe alter the rules just a little bit.
It's not more important.
To me,
yeah.
No way. I mean, no, all the things, and again, I'm not trying to be like, oh, all the things I think. I don't mean it like that. But to me, the reason to be an environmentalist, and I'm very much an environmentalist, if humans went away from the Earth's a better place. There's no question about it. But that's not what I want for my son and everybody else. Like, I'm an environmentalist because I want human beings to be able to stay on this Earth and share it with the other plants and animals and harmoniously. And we have to take better care of it. But the whole reason behind it is to make sure it's a better place for people. And the same with preservation. Like, the preservation is supposed to enhance the quality of life for everybody, not just a select few.
And I guess I'm just curious, like, with restoration and preservation and some of these nicer things, like, at what point is it too far? What's, like, that symbol of, like, okay, this is a little bit too far? Priorities are gone, you know? And I guess some people maybe are worried that your restaurant represents that.
There's no question in my mind that there's been more development in New Orleans post-Katrina than probably, what, 5 decades before Katrina? I mean, it's and I really do feel that you have all these kind of Dudley Do-Rights that came by after Katrina, and they're not as familiar, and they're not as ingrained in the society, and they don't know their place and all that and how the world works. And I think there's a real tension between kind of the old guard and the new guard. I feel I probably got it. It's okay for people to do crazy things down in Bywater, because a lot of people that were kind of controlling things, that's not their neighborhood. It never was their neighborhood, and they didn't think about it that way. That I'm in the French Quarter, I think, is finally like, oh, some of that movement has kind of come into our territory. And I think that's why it became such a divisive issue in many ways.
Yeah, this is creeping.
And so I think you're right. I think in some people's minds, it's like that's too much. And you can call it hipster. You could also call it the Brooklynization of New Orleans if you wanted to. And I think that's what some people are thinking is going on with Havana here on the corner. And I think it's unfounded, and I think actually it's going to be the opposite. And I think, yes, you say I rode the wave, but I also feel that I always had respect for the people that were there before me. And I sometimes feel like gentrification, and sometimes when you have the new waves coming in, there's a lack of that, and I feel bad for that. But what is the tipping point when it's too much? I don't know. I don't think that I don't care about a mayonnaise shop. That doesn't bother me. If somebody can make a living making mayonnaise, we're all trying to get through life best way we can. Yo, mazel tov, you made it. Good for you, man. But for me, what I think, and you're like what you were saying, and you're wondering, I think having the discussion and making sure that 100% of our citizens are benefiting or are being helped to adapt to the times, because New Orleans has always been a changing city, and all cities are. They're like, they're living organisms. So, but we got to make sure that we just can't vilify some people and say, oh, everything would be great except for the crime. And why is there crime? And it's just like, come on, man, you're cloaking issues that are ugly issues. Let's just have a real discussion and make it happen.
Exactly. Anything you want to add?
I would like to add that I went from, like I said, this was third choice to be in New Orleans, right? And I ended up going to the World Cup, and I was in Brazil for a whole summer, and I came back here and I realized I don't love New Orleans. I am in love with New Orleans. I'm so glad I ended up here. And I wake up every day really thankful. Like, I just flew in actually today. I had to go to Brooklyn for something. I came in, and just riding down Esplanade Avenue, I'm just like so thankful to be here. I think it's a wonderful city, and I think even having some of the problems that are the problems, or the issues that are the issues now, are luxury issues to have. There's so many cities that are just dying, and this is a vibrant place that really has such a rich culture that I'm just glad to be here, man.
Yeah, that it still knows who it is. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Like, if you go to Atlanta or if you go to Houston's, there's nothing left of whatever it might have been at one point. It's just kind of capitalism.
Right. Yeah. Or places like Braddock, or you know what I mean? Like, they're trying to resuscitate.
I haven't been there yet. I'm kind of fascinated by it.
Oh, it's worth going to.
Yeah.
We'll work on it.
Do you live here?
Yeah.
Upstairs?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Are you going to live here? You're not going to live here when the restaurant opens.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to live above your...
It's old European shopkeeper style. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, hell yeah. Especially, I also felt like it was really important. I don't know if this is on or not, but I also felt it was really important because there's been some concerns in the neighborhood. I actually lived 3 blocks down, sold that place to live here. What's that?
This way?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And on the 700 block, and now this is the 1,000 block. So I want to be like, if there is an issue here, you ring my doorbell, I may come down in pajamas, but I'm going to come down and deal with it. I mean, it's important to me. And I really feel like, because there's been some bad blood from everything that's gone on in this, it's been a 3-year process, that it's my responsibility to be here and be an attentive, available owner.